T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Ralph Webb showed a little fight today.
Well, they signed Ralph Webb, Jerry.
Well said. Who is that?
Have yourself a night, Ralph Webb.
That's impossible.
Bill, do you tend to get more out of evaluations from the games or the practices?
Yeah, we evaluate everything, so it all counts.
Oh, thanks, bro.
Fish Smithson out of Kansas. Yeah, where do you get that one, right? The nickname Fish given to him by his infant grandmother. By his grandmother. That's a good terminology. You're on first down.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. Lou and I are in-house. Christian is not here. He's predisposed. And hopefully everything's going just dandy and fine. And he'll be with us on Monday as we kick off afternoon drive, Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Now, we mentioned this in the last couple of hours. You might have heard it. You might have missed it. Our colleague, Kirk Minahan. Mm. And it's kind of interesting. You hear people on the air. You hear personalities. And you never know what's really going on in their life. And those who are regulars of the radio station know that Kirk lost both of his parents over the last year plus. And there's been some rough stuff, and you never know how people are going to deal with it. So I don't know about you, Lou, but I was a little bit surprised, though, in this day and age with people reacting certain ways. Some people get really depressed at certain things that happen in their lives. Others to find a way of fighting through. Some succumb to it. I wouldn't say I was totally shocked that he tweeted this out yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday was about 2 o'clock, actually, right around there. He tweeted out, "I've talked a lot about my issues with depression, and I battled it in the last 3 months or so. Last Thursday night, I checked into the ER at Winchester Hospital with suicidal thoughts. I was then moved to McLean, where I was treated and released earlier this week." He followed up with another tweet right after. "I'll be back at work tomorrow. I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm not ashamed or embarrassed, and we'll do what we do. We'll talk about it."
Which was a great thing to do, because I think he opened up, and hopefully it probably helped somebody else who might be going through the same thing. So I heard the same thing this morning from him that you're going to hear right now, and we'll play much of it in its entirety as possible.
I was scheduled to be in last Friday. I was scheduled to be off Monday, Tuesday, in Wednesday, Thursday. I think today as well. I was not. So, anybody who listens to the show, we joke around about it all the time. Jerry makes fun of me for it, and he'll continue to do it because that's what friends do, and I want that. Believe me, that's going to continue. I have had mental health issues in the past and depression that I was hospitalized for. A couple of times in my senior year in high school for a while. And they've been up and down and up and down here, you know, in my life. It's just the life of somebody who has depression, which is a real thing and an illness like anything else. I'd say in the past year or so, particularly following the death of my parents, I've had a hard time, if not handled it well. I think in the past year, particularly over the last couple of months, it's really accelerated to a point that it's never been before and really bubbled up, I would say, even more so over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, to the point where really for the first time in my life, I started having what I guess is termed suicidal thoughts. And the way it manifested itself for me was I think I hid the fact that I was thinking about doing it by pretending in a weird way like I was almost doing research on it. Or if you, Jerry, or you, Mutt, or Mike, handed me a almost came up to me and said, "Listen, I'm going to commit suicide on day X. I'd like you to put together the plan for me." That's how I started to think about it. I read books. I went online. And if you want to go online for it, it's like anything else, a rabbit hole that never ends. Figured the safest way to do it, the least safe way to do it, the way to do it that may not look like you're actually doing it. The history of it, the percentages of success, the percentages of failure, and landed for some reason on trains. I got sort of focused on trains. And there's a commuter rail, obviously, there's a bunch of them. There's a commuter rail that goes from Lowell to North Station, you know it, and stops a couple of times in Winchester. Winchester Center to Wedgemere, which is like a mile, if that, and doesn't pick up the kind of speed that would do the required damage. However, the one from Wedgemere to Medford would. And I began to look at that. I went on the train a few times that way, tested it out. Then would sort of walk a couple of times, walk the route. And there's, you know, sort of a woodsy thing, so I'd sort of hide and whatever. And the day, last Thursday, I went the middle of the day to take a look and watch it go by and said, okay, well, there's a 7:56, I want to say, is when it was arriving in West Medford, and 8 o'clock or 8:02 at Wedgemere. And said, you know, I'm going to go. And again, I was lying to myself, I think, and saying that, you know, I'm just going to go look. I'm going to look. I was thinking about it. And there I was, you know, at 8 o'clock-ish, right before, wandering around the Wedgemere train station, going around the parking lot, kind of walk around the field around there. And a few minutes before, I stood in front of my car and I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to die. But I know I don't want to die. But I also know this thing in my head that keeps talking about this and saying, examine this and look at this and look at this, and the word suicide. And the fact that how I felt internally, and I felt for the past couple of weeks like I was having a heart attack almost all the time. I was having a hard time breathing. And I was also playing this character, A, on the air, who was feeling good, and around my family, who was feeling good, and talking to my brothers, who was feeling good, and joking and doing that. Meanwhile, sort of dying on the inside. I said, I simply cannot live like this anymore. I have to give over. I have to give up whatever power I have. And I drove the car to Winchester Hospital and walked up to the emergency room people and the woman and said, you know, I'm having very dangerous thoughts. And that was the beginning of, you know, 5 days of hospitalization between Winchester that overnight and McLean for 4 nights, where, you know, I went in and I feel a little better now. I feel cathartic being able to tell my wife and my family and my friends that I was going through this. And there was a burden that I didn't handle well.
Frightening hearing him describe it. You can hear the pain in his voice and that nervous cough, which you never hear with Kirk. He likes to belch on the air every once in a while, but that nervous
cough. Well, it's scary.
Cough there.
Yeah, because you start hearing him talk about, you know, the trains. This train doesn't go fast enough, but this one does. And he went on it, and he investigated the area. I mean, he just drove out there, knew the times. You know, and I'm glad that, obviously, I think we all are, that he recognized it enough to kind of to go get help.
Right.
You know, but I imagine that pretty emotional too with your wife and your kids. I mean, you're out there and, you know, selfishly you're just sort of thinking of yourself and what you have issues. And then when you decide to finally go get help, now you go home and you realize what you had, you know, what you have, I should say, right?
Right.
So it's,
yeah.
And then it's like, how could I be willing to do this, you know, with this back home? But as you pointed out, I think, was it Jerry that actually asked him that? I think it was talking about his kids. You know, I think it was Kirk, number seven.
How could you do that to your kids?
Yeah, the number.
Okay, all right. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Amazing to me, listening to this, and I've dealt with a little bit of this in my family, not with me. That people who have battled depression, and you know, do require medication to be able to keep everything in balance. But what was amazing to me is listening to him. As he basically said that he was fooling himself doing research on committing suicide and like kind of fooling himself, which was unbelievable. So I guess the big question that Jerry and the crew had this morning, what brought him to this point? What happened?
In this last year, you know, just between, you know, A, my parents and honestly, B, the thing that's, and I have to get past it. I don't know why I've been so hyper-focused on it. Is this guy who's been, you know, trying to bring down our show, honestly, and I've not handled that well. I should just say this is a bad guy who's trying to screw with us, but I think move the anger I have still about my parents is kind of unresolved and all that stuff. I've festered that and allowed myself to sort of get hyper-focused on this person who's not worth a second of my time. and I will never be bothered with him again. He can do what he wants to do, and I just have to move on. I have to stop getting worked up about stuff like that. I have a great life. I have a great family. I have a great job. I work with people who I love. I love Jerry. I love Mutt. I love Ken. Curtis works here. <There's>, I love him too. And I have to, you know, move past all that stuff. And, you know, this is a real thing. And I'm not embarrassed or ashamed about suffering from depression. I think I kind of was in the past. I joke around about it, but I felt emasculated by it. I don't anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm happy that I'm here now, and I'm going to be here, and I'm going to have down times too. The important thing for me, I think, is to recognize that I have these down times and tell people right away, as opposed to hiding it. It doesn't benefit me at all, and that all comes from childhood stuff like everything else. I have to figure that out, but right now I feel okay. You know, I feel pretty good, but I think I have sort of a temporary high right now because I've been able to talk about it. 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, I'm sure I won't feel great for a while, and I just have to be honest about it. But you know, that's where I'm at. And I mean, we could talk about the days in McLean, and that's what it is. It's you're inside the mental hospital, and there are people there who are really, 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 really sick. They stay in bed all day. They're upset about stuff. They're sort of stereotypical people you expect in those places. But they're sick, and it's a horrible mental illness, a horrible, horrible thing. It's as dangerous as anything else, more dangerous than anything else, really. It leads to more deaths than anything else. So I'm just trying to figure it out and get my head around it, and I'm going to fight it, and that's where I'm at right now. So that's why I was out for the last couple of days. So that's it. That's where I'm at.
Hopefully this helps him be opening up, letting the audience know. He's been very open in the past about, you know, his addictions and various other issues he's had in his life. So hopefully this helps him right now. I think there are a lot of people that are listening to this that he may be helping them because they're going through some of that stuff. You know?
My first time, he's talking about being at McLean, you know, at this place. And for some reason, I was thinking, can you imagine if the first person he saw was Albert from Rhode Island? Didn't he work at one of these places?
It's McLean.
Huh?
It's not McLean.
No, it's not. But can you imagine? Minahan might be like, oh, that's it. You know, because I reached out. I was texting him, you know, if I saw his tweets. And you know, you know, Kirk, you sit there and say, I'm here for you. Anything to help?
Right.
You know what I mean? It turns
Did you, because I want to ask you this, did you joke with him?
I told him that if, you know, hopefully, I mean, if he wants to talk, we could talk Sox bullpen for a couple of hours. But I'm afraid that might actually put him over the edge.
All right. So I did the same thing. And I didn't do the bullpen. I did the Trenny, right? The Trenny line to him, and which Callahan apparently used the Trenny and Tomasi. Is he broken up about it? You went this far because you're broken up about the breakup of Trenny and Tomasi?
Mm-hmm.
But that's Kirk. I mean, I don't know any other way to act with Kirk.
Well, there's seriousness to it. You know,
right.
I mean, I think
I think we get that. I think he's
reaching
getting,
out. I think he knows.
He's going to get tremendous support here from the staff. There's no question about it. You talked about the people at McLean. This was apparently the security guard that he ran into.
So I checked myself in the Winchester.
Wasn't Albert?
You go into a separate wing. There's a security guard watching all the time.
I don't think it was Albert.
They take your belt. They take your money clip. They take your phone. They take all this stuff. The security guy was a very nice guy. And it's probably late 20s, early 30s. And I'm in there for about an hour or so. And I'm a mess. He comes out to me and shakes my hand. He's like, I just want you to know I'm a big fan. I said, oh, thanks. Okay. I got to ask you a question. What's Portnoy like?
Jesus. No. Seriously.
He was a nice guy. He's a good guy. I don't know.
It's like with me. My car got totaled and I was in a daze in the middle of the street. And a guy walked up and said, how do you think the Red Sox are going to do?
Right. Be a fair question at the time.
But so, you know, that's something that like Minahan probably appreciated.
Yeah.
And the guy didn't realize, you know, because it just changed it up. And that's kind of him. But I do think it's important, but it's just scary. You know, when I saw those tweets and to hear him talk about the whole, everything about this train and the amount of work he went into, an investigation it went into. I mean, your mind goes in places too. He's like, Jesus, thank God something inside of him kept him from doing this.
That was frightening, listening to the train and the schedule and the speed.
Because I'm sure there's not many people out there that just, they've, you know, maybe they get to that point. And they just sit there and they forget about it.
Yeah.
They go.
Yeah.
You know, they don't go to the Winchester ER. They don't go there, you know, and walk in there and say, hey, I've got a problem, and get help. They just don't. So hopefully, you know, Kirk opening up, and there's people there, they're thinking, listen, there is that final decision. You don't have to, you know, go get help.
Right.
There's a recognition of needing help. And I think hopefully that's where Kirk is right now, and he'll continue to get it.
Now, let's get to that question. Jerry asked him, and I think it's a legitimate question, because he talked about having to go back. He did not explain any of this to his wife or his kids, anything he was going through in his family. And Jerry asked him the question, you know, how could you do this to your kids?
The thing that I will never understand, never be able to get my mind around, when did you stop thinking of your kids? I mean, you don't.
I didn't. That's why I'm alive.
Good point. If you, they're not, you know, they
right. I think, well, and I feel horrible for them. But 10 years ago, I would have said they're selfish. They're not.
How can you do that to your kids?
You're sick. It's an illness.
I understand. But you're not like
the same things. Honestly, it's the same thing. I believe it's the same thing as if you had cancer and you had kids. You just die. You have kids. You don't want to lose them, but you lose them. It's an illness.
But that would be like if you stop going to chemo.
But you're not. But I think killing yourself, you're mentally. I mean, look. I think we're talking about an imbalance. Like you're asking me to describe a chemical imbalance. I can't.
But I would think when you go to the train, the thing on your mind is Harry and Kate.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
And I agree.
That's why I didn't jump in front of it.
Hmm. He also said he was afraid. To talk about it, the embarrassment, and obviously he got through that because he talked about it today.
Right now, this is a temporary high, so I know when it gets, you know, everyone's tweeting how wonderful you are, and everyone's now great, and you feel good, and you feel unburdened, and then 3 weeks from now, when you start getting that feeling again in your stomach, well, then the question is, can I be honest and talk about it, or am I going to lie to my family? Am I going to lie to my therapist, which I've done? I mean, you know, you do this stuff where it's just, you're afraid to talk about it, you know, and I don't know why that is, but that's something I battle with. So I don't know when you're sort of, I think, well, there's a lot of it. When you're sort of now the oldest person on your side of the family and you've got kids and you're perceived as being this, it's been embarrassing to talk about the fact that I have this illness. Like it's just, and it's almost like this sidekick that you're annoyed to have in your life. You just don't want to even deal with it anymore. But you have to. I have to. It's going to be with me for the rest of my life, for the next 3 weeks
of
my whole life.
Did you think when you went to...
Jesus. That's what I mean. Like those lines right there, you know, the rest of my life, the next three weeks of my life. That's just him.
That's him. And that's his show. And that's why the only reaction I had, and I left him a voicemail, was to crack a joke, because that's what we all do. You did the same thing in a text form,
right.
And Jerry's doing it on the air. I find it interesting.
I was afraid that if it did, I mean, we did talk, and we could talk socks. I could talk about my concerns in the bullpen, because I don't think they got enough.
That would have put them over the
edge.
I think.
I'm afraid. Yeah, exactly. I'm afraid that I would have done more damage.
No. But I think he knows that we're all in his corner, and we know he's going through a rough time here, and we're here for him. And we're going to get to some phone calls. We'll let you react for a little bit, and then we'll get back to doing what we normally do. Yeah, we're going to take a break, Ryan. I got it down. Thank you. Ryan's got it.
Did you say Ryan's did. On break? Take a break.
We're taking a break. I will say this. I find this amusing but also troubling. If you look at the text line, people have a much different attitude on the text line towards Kirk. Has everybody noticed that in station? And it's unbelievable because you're hiding, and I don't think we're going to get any of this on the air when we take phone calls here in reaction. Maybe we will, because I think this thing was good that he got it out on the table. One, I think it helps him being able to talk about it and have people talk back at him about it, but it also might help some other people. But if you read some of these things, Lou, it is unbelievable how vicious people are. Why were you so mean to Trenny? If you weren't so mean to Trenny, this wouldn't be happening to you.
Minahan's a phony and a liar. He doesn't have the balls to kill himself.
Right, exactly. Huh. We can go one right after another, talking about how he's exploiting it for ratings, how EEI is allowing us to do this. He's our friend. He's our colleague. He's our friend. And so we're talking about it because it's going on in his life, and I think it's good for all.
You think the dude that said he doesn't have the balls to kill himself, you think where do you think that guy is in his life? Like right now, he's sitting in the car. He just texted that in. He sucks. Who cares? He's a phone. He's a liar. He doesn't have the balls to kill himself.
Where's that?
Like
one?
Where's that?
Oh, that one.
That
right
person.
There.
Like what is going through your mind? I'm just curious. Like, what kind of a person are you?
You mean 781 405-3? No, don't push the button. I won't give the whole phone number. But we do know who you are.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll open up the phone lines.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
Very sorry to hear about this, Kirk. I really am.
Sorry about what? He's doing great.
Well, no, that's not the point.
Right?
The point is if he did kill himself, what the hell would I do every morning?
He could listen to Jerry and Dickerson. It'd be fine.
Yeah.
Until Dickerson, Dickerson did it.
People that listen to you here, you're going to wreck it for us. Then I'll have to kill myself.
Well, nobody cares if you do it,
Don. Who would care, Don?
Listen, you know, really, Kirk, I feel for you, but come on. Will you please? You're going to wreck it for everybody. You do something stupid like that.
Dom from Linfield showing compassion for Kirk Minahan and selfishness, really concerned about his own listening habits. We're going to go to the phone calls, and we don't want to hear a lot of people's own personal stories on all of this because I think it'd be become very taxing to the rest of the audience. And if somebody has an issue with it, we're seeing it all over the text line, and some of it's legit. You know, Kirk does take shots at other people. What if those other people he's constantly taking shots are in the same state that he's been in over the last week?
Mm-hmm.
Does that not put them over the top based on, you know, what he's doing to them? So, I mean, that's all legit, and we're willing to talk about that. So if you want to do that, fine. Don't hide behind the text line. Pick up the phone. 617-779-7937. We start with Tracy in Marlboro. Hello, Tracy.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Good. So I just wanted to call. I am a physician assistant and a mom and a person who has had some dealings personally with postpartum depression, family members with depression, bipolar, et cetera. And I just want to give Kirk kudos. I mean, the strongest people I know have mental illness. It takes a man to stand up and to...
Or a woman.
Yeah, or a woman, yes. And I mean that in that sense.
I get it.
And I just think it's wonderful that he came out and shared this with the public. And I don't know him, never met him, but I am very proud of him that he made this known to everyone. And I think more people need to do that. And also, if you don't mind me addressing the texters and the absolutely horrible things that people have been saying, you know, that's what you called ignorance and uneducated people.
Yeah.
And unless you've been in that situation, I know it's a free country, but you cannot give an opinion on mental illness. Unless you have felt it, been there, seen it, dealt with it, been to those wonderful places like McLean and these ERs that reach out and do wonderful things for people, your opinion does not count.
Okay, let's go to Mike in Springfield. Hello, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. First time, long time to OMS.
Nice to hear from you, Mike.
Tracy did a great job there. She made making my call a lot easier. So, you know, I just want to say I recently got out of the inpatient program as well. I'm 33 years old. I have three children. I love my wife very much. She understands my disease. I've been outpatient twice. I'm getting therapy. You know, when you're in our situation, it's almost like it's hard to find help. So hearing Kirk say that was so meaningful for me because I always thought he was the biggest fake character in WEI.
He's the biggest what? Would you call him a fake character?
Yeah, fake. The only one putting on an act. You know what I mean?
Right.
The guy, he's being the little jack,
right.
You know, that he is.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, I always thought he wasn't real. So for him to do that now, it's bringing him down to a different level. I mean, now I look at him as a human, and I think I'll enjoy my rides into work thoroughly even more. I mean, I'm not a diehard WEI guy. I'm a New York Jets fan, for crying out loud. So,
well, my guess would be this.
Finish
Mike.
Your point quickly.
Yeah, I know you're sympathetic with him and everything, but my guess is that within a couple of weeks you'll hate him again.
Yes,
because that's just what he does. You know, I mean, he's good at what
he does. It's what like what he said. He said, you know, he feels great because he just got out of the hospital. He's motivated. He was able to talk about it and vent, and he got a lot of attention. I know how that feels because I was. Just, it's like a prison in that place, and all you have is time. And it's literally like a prison, and you have all this time to reflect on yourself. So you feel great after you're rested, of course. But once you're like just like a drug addict, once you're brought back into your natural environment, it just, you know, unless you can change your environment somehow or your outlook on your environment, you're always going to go back to that place.
Well, I think, and he talked about it today, and they've talked about it. Both of them have talked about it in the past about, you know, an outside force trying to in some way destroy their show. And I think a lot of that has played into it. He's lost both of his parents. This has been a tough year for him.
Lost control.
He lost control. And other people are now in control, and that is probably, for him, extremely difficult. John is in Weymouth. Hi, John.
Hey, Glenn. Lou, how's it going?
Good, John.
Glenn, as you know, I have not been the biggest Kirk fan, but you know what? These people saying this stuff in the text line, man, that's just beyond gutless, sick. You know, and as somebody that gets offended by Minahan for my Christian beliefs, when that happens, all I do is remember, hey, he did get rid of Salk, and he did have a hand in Mr. Ordway coming back, so I can only get so mad at him.
Right.
You know, but
I'm with you, brother.
It's a good way of looking at it.
I have a family member who really battles with, you know, bipolar and depression. All you can do is just, it is a roller coaster ride, and the people in his life probably feel helpless. And the only thing you can do is be there for him, you know, and I wish him well, no matter what. You know, and not to get him mad because I know this gets him mad. He says people give thoughts and prayers. I'm going to pray for the guy. That's all I can do because I don't know him. If I knew him, I'd call him up and say, hey, you know. But, you know,
thoughts and prayers is the best way of getting to him. I think it works perfectly.
Yeah, don't piss him off.
Yeah. Bill's in Newburyport. Next up here in EEI. Hi, Bill.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. So, hey, I'm a psychologist in the area, and I wanted to take a minute and give you guys props for the way that you're talking about what Kurt's going through and this problem in general. I mean, you're really being respectful, non-judgmental, and open and available for him and about the topic. I think as guys on the radio, and especially guys, sports guys, talking to lots of men probably who listen, and women, but, you know, normalizing this and talking through how to react to it in a non-judgmental way is a really important thing you guys are doing.
Well, he's the one that's talking about it. He's talking about his own experience. You know, he's our colleague. He's our friend. And so, obviously, we want to be there for him. I mean, I think that's normal, what we're doing.
Yeah.
I don't think we're doing anything out of the...
I totally agree that it's normal. And you're modeling how to be there for other people to, you know, make other family members and other people who support the mentally ill and people who struggle with whatever... you're showing them how to do that. So that's good on you guys.
Well, I'll say this. You know, it's like I don't know that what Tracy called earlier, you know, experience in it. I don't. And the only thing, I think someone who doesn't know what to do would just sit there with, you know, with a guy like Minahan being like, listen, I think if you just talk about it and if you need someone to talk about, I don't know, maybe you're not comfortable talking about your wife. I don't know because of how it might affect her. And so it's I think the more he talks about it, and that's why I think today, coming in here and discussing it, I think does help. And I think continuing to have people just to be there. If you want to talk about it, let's talk. Because I think that would help as opposed to him keeping it inside and bottling it up and dealing with it internally and all these bad thoughts going in his mind. That's when you reach the point where he was investigating trains.
That is unbelievable.
And the schedule of, and then going and scouting them and looking at them and thinking... You know, and seriously, you're a split second away from doing something you can never turn back.
Right.
That's scary.
That was scary when he went through the train schedule and he did it different days. Here's Kevin in Bridgewater. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Kevin.
A good point, Glenn. You know, people are going to take shots at him because he takes shots at all different types.
That's
people,
legit, though, Kevin. I got to admit it. That's legit.
That being aside, I lost a friend. He didn't reach out. Okay, and for Kirk Minahan to do that this morning, he can ignore the noise and go out there and let this be known that depression is real. People are doing this every day. I think that is an unbelievable act of what. And when I heard that this morning, it brought back a lot of emotions. And I'm usually the one calling up, being an idiot, you know, pretending I'm Jesus Christ and stuff in the morning and stuff, like, you know, doing that full of stuff. But all things aside, this is reality. He's a real person. He has emotions. You know what I mean? Like, people make mistakes, but for him to come out there and say that, I give him a lot of props.
I understand that and you're right. He pisses a lot of people off. Yeah. And we were talking about it before, you know, to where, sure, I mean, he goes after people, you know, when they've lost jobs. Who knows what their thoughts are? Who knows where they're at?
Yeah.
you know, and given what he's going through, you would think that, okay, but it's just him. That's just what he does.
It's his on-air persona, and it's part of what he does, as you said. But you heard a whole different side of him today. And obviously, this is all real to him, all real to him. Talking about real, let's go to Albert in Rhode Island. Hi, Albert.
Albert, you didn't work there. You weren't the first person he saw, were you?
No, I wasn't. Imagine how much I would have changed his life if I would have been the first
person. I'm afraid you would have put him over the edge.
I hate to say it, but I don't think you could help in this situation.
No, probably not. But in all seriousness, though, as you guys know, I have an administrative position in this psych unit. In clinical depression, it is from the outside, you know, it's crippling. I see neuropsychological exams. I see different med changes that psychiatrists and counselors try to make. It's painful to watch people go through it. But let me tell you something. Kirk is clinically depressed. I bust chops with Kirk as much as anybody. It's sad because no matter how big a star you are, how much money, mental health, there's no racist to mental health. It sees no color. It sees no finance. But the problem why people on the text line are having such an issue and maybe calling them out and being unsympathetic is because millennials nowadays, okay, see, like before you are clinically depressed, There's a mechanism called coping skills.
Why did I take this call?
Today, I'm 35, so say my generation and say 10, 15 years younger, we don't utilize, we don't try to attempt coping skills. If you don't get the colored pencil you want, if the M&M isn't the color you want, we just go back crazy.
It's going to make it a millennial argument.
Battle of the millennials. Oh, he's depressed. He's on medication. And so the field has been oversaturated. Doctors are prescribing kids medication for ADD and depression far too quick. People are misdiagnosed, and the general population is turned off by this, and I can understand this. But this is the case where people like Kirk, who went through a battle where he fell, he legitimately needs the help because he's clinically diagnosed with a disorder. It's the rest of the population that are depressed because their favorite football team didn't win, or they claim to be.
Oh, stop it. Bringing it back to Brady. He's bringing it back to Brady.
No.
You're bringing it back to Brady. That's what you're doing.
I'm not going to say his name, but that's what's said.
Bringing it back to Brady. Give me a break. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number right here on OMF.
Lou is rocking Twitter before, during, and after the show at Lou Merlone. We're back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Boy, I find it quite interesting here. The calls we've taken, every single one of them, even people who can't stand Kirk are calling up to basically applaud Kirk for at least opening up and allowing people to hear his story, helpful to him, maybe helpful to other people. The same people, maybe the same exact people that are calling up are on the text line here, and they're killing him. I would say 75-25% they're killing him on the text line because they can't stand him. And they're basically saying it's fraudulent, he's doing it for ratings. I can tell you this. When people make that argument that we do certain things on radio for ratings, they're usually correct. The idea is to put together the best content, the best programming you can to get ratings. That is our job. That is how we get paid. It's for ratings. In this case, I would tell you that that is not accurate because the summer ratings are not important. He would have held it off until September 13th or September 15th and do it in the fall rating period where it would have a significant difference in the outcome of the fall rating board. Correct?
Yes.
Yes. So it has nothing to do with ratings. It really has nothing to do with ratings.
We've had one call critical of Kirk, and he didn't stick around long enough for me to question him and put him on the air.
I have no problem with somebody coming on the air.
Screamed at me, said Kirk's actions put other people the same way, he could be doing this to other people, and then just hung up the phone.
I think it's true. I think that's a legitimate part of the conversation. Sure. That is legitimate.
You never know who you're talking to or what they're going through.
Right.
Right? So even if it's like a caller, you know, but there's been people in the past that he's gone after, media members in this town, people that some of them have been suspended or lost jobs. That's true. That's a fact. And I'm sure he would own that as well.
Let's kick it right off 6-6.
Yeah, he's done that.
Well, they could bring up the subject of Trenny. Trenny has come out on the air and talked about her depression.
Yep.
He is at times, you know, giving her a real difficult time.
Well, he's giving her a hard time, but I don't think, has he attacked her?
It's part of the
state
radio.
Of mind
it's...
or depression or illness, or he's
no.
might have gone after
no,
why she doesn't want to come on the show anymore,
yes.
or why she left the show, or why she's leaving weekends, you know, or the hypocrisy in some of his her words. But that's not saying that she's faking a mental illness.
No, I don't think he's ever done that. No, I know he's never done that. Kenny's in Worcester. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
So I'm calling in because I can empathize with what Kurt's been going through because I've gone through similar things in my life. But I can also attest to, like, coming out on the other side and just being so scared to come out, especially on a platform like your guys's, and speak to thousands of people and just, like, not keep that secret in any longer. Because that secret, like, I can tell you personally, I kept the secret for, like, 13 years that I was an addict. And for 13 years, it ate away from me. And I would think, like, what if they find out? What if this, this, and that? And just talking about it up front and just breaking it out. And the amount of people he's able to touch with his story, the way he articulated it, you knew exactly what he was thinking about. He was thinking about the train. He was thinking about the times. He was looking at the route. He made it so vivid that you can't help but picture it.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing that kind of freaked me out. You know, it's again
that
it's
nervous
thing,
cough the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah, there's one thing of just talking about suicidal thoughts, but he's talking about being on the train, scouting this train. I saw this train, but it doesn't go fast enough to do the job. But this one did, and it took off at 7:25 and arrived at 8:05. And I went to look at it, and I was kidding myself because I was just going and pretending I was going to go look at it. But what was I really thinking? Like that's the stuff that freaked me out. You know, when you talk about him talking about it on the air and choosing to talk about it on the air, and how we heard him earlier talk about how it might have helped him. I think Mutt even asked that question. Did he consider not bringing this up on the air?
Is there any point where you're like, maybe I shouldn't, this is
absolutely
not something
not.
I want to talk
never,
about on the
never,
air?
Never, never, never.
Because it takes some balls.
Never, does not. No, I don't
to talk about it openly, I think
yes, it does.
I think it does.
This is what we do.
I wouldn't do it.
I would say that when I did the, especially the podcast last year, I talked to both my parents. I got so many emails from people, and some people said it really helped them. And I'm not going to go in the cliche world here, but this is a real thing. And I think guys our age, depression still has a stigma of being sort of feminine and emasculating. And that's not the case at all. Absolutely not the case at all. So if a couple people are going through it, hear this and feel a little better and say, you know what, I'm not going to skip that therapist appointment today. I will take those pills today. Great. Awesome. And by the way, I think it's interesting, and I think people care about me and care about the show. So we talk. That's what we do on the show.
Absolutely.
It puts away. It never crossed my mind not to talk about it. Ever.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's totally telling the truth here. Knowing Kirk the way I know Kirk.
It's an open book,
yeah,
as far as that show goes.
Absolutely would have expected him to come out and talk about it today. Now, the detail he gave, especially showing up every day doing the research on the train, was frightening.
The interesting thing with Kirk Minahan, and he's talked about it in the past, that usually when someone's going through all this, you know, and I shouldn't say usually, but I would think that given his past with alcohol or drugs, I mean, he's openly talked about how his struggles in the past, that you wouldn't turn to that, right? And I think Jerry asked him, is there any thoughts of turning to that?
Did you think of drinking or drugging at any point?
No, I didn't. Nope. I never do. That part of my life is amazing to me.
That takes real strength.
I think that part of my life is just gone. I don't have any desire to do
that. That's progress.
Yeah. No, I have no desire
to do
it.
I'm sure many of the people in McLean's with you are...
That's either, a huge part of it.
That's why you had to blow into a straw.
Correct. Yeah, right. I got checked in.
But that's good. I mean, I'm surprised that it's not a temptation at that point just to ease the pain.
Not a temptation. Right. I could see why it would be. I have no desire to do that.
Good.
That does maybe, surprise me.
Better if I did.
I've never seen him do it, though.
Well, no,
and
no.
And we've been around him. I know you have, and I have been around him in settings where there's alcohol.
I'm just saying, you're a recovering alcoholic.
Yep.
And you're going through this.
Right.
Or your addiction to drugs. You know, you fought through that, and you're going through what he's going through right now. You would think it would be so easy for him to turn to those two things.
Maybe.
And he hasn't.
I've never seen him do it.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen him do coke in the studio.
Nope.
Have you?
Nope.
No.
I've no alcohol. As I said, we've been in bars. You ever seen Mutt do it?
Coke?
No.
In a bar?
Alcohol.
Oh, alcohol. Yeah, I think I have.
Okay.
I've never seen Kirk.
We'll go through the whole staff later on. Where are we going here? Let me go to Mike in Connecticut. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Mike.
First off, Albert, huh? He never failed to miss a point.
Christ.
God. It all came to Brady. It all came down to freaking Brady.
I was laughing while I was on hold, just listening to that.
I wasn't laughing. I was pissed off, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. But, I just want to chime in because I know Jerry earlier in on the morning show talked about, you know, thinking about your kids in these situations. And I know, Lou, you mentioned it, you know, it's something that, you know, it's something you can't understand, you know, not that you're not trying to, but it really is a hard thing to grasp. Me as somebody who has been through that, I don't have any kids, but when I went through periods of depression, you try to think of things that make you happy. And that's the first thing my mind went to. But the thing about depression is that it just doesn't make those, it doesn't, when you think about those things, it doesn't bring you joy. It's a really weird phenomenon. It's hell, really. And
didn't you think that was a legitimate question that Jerry asked him about thinking about the kids? Because
I absolutely think it's a legitimate.
Because if he disappears, Mike, if he disappears, those kids have to live with it for the rest of their life. I thought it was a legitimate question.
It affects the rest of their life.
Right.
I'm not giving anybody criticism for asking the question. I think it's a very valid question. I'm just trying to paint a picture of like what the mind of somebody who has depression, what it's like in their head. They want to say, yeah, of course I'm not going to do it because of my kids, but it's such a sip in like hell. It's hell how you feel when you're under it, that it still trumps that. And it's so weird. And it's hard to imagine, you know. I feel ashamed saying that, you know, because, you know, you think to yourself, you know, no, you would never think that. Your kids are first, you know what I mean? And
yeah, but that was his answer. His answer was that's why he didn't do it. That's why he didn't fall through on it, because he did think about the kids. So he was thinking about the kids in a positive way, right? I mean, that was that was his response to it. Let me go to Steve in Portsmouth. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
You know, and I commend Kirk on, you know, doing what he did this morning. It is a pretty incredible thing. It's scary to come out and, you know, on certain platforms, you know, this day and age. But, you know, one thing that I really want people to know that are listening to you guys is that from a person with, you know, with mental health issues or, you know, depression, you know, when they think about killing themselves or you think about actually taking your own life, it's not because you actually want to, you know, you want to die and you don't want to be on the earth anymore and you know, you're thinking about your kids, right? You just want the pain to end. And that's, you know, and you just want the pain is that bad that you just want it to end, and you know that's finality, and you think, oh, I'm going to kill myself, and then the pain's going to, and then everything's going to go back to being better. And obviously that's not the case, but, you know, your brain gets distorted, and, you know, mental health, and, you know, that's, you know, I think that's a good way for people who don't, you know, necessarily go through.
All right, we're losing your phone. I'm amazed because we still can't get anybody on the phone line that wants to do what the people are doing on the text line. And the text line, one right after another, he's faking it out. He's a phony. Kevin Cullen had a very vivid story about the bombing, too.
It's typical. It's the world of text
it's
and
unbelievable.
Twitter. Text and Twitter.
I would love to hear from some of these people who actually want to address it. All right, we'll continue. Take a few more phone calls on this, and then we'll get back to some Patriot stuff from last night's game. If you might have missed us at the beginning of the program, not a real entertaining game last night. Not an awful lot to talk about. 617-779-7937.
Kirk and Callahan.
I have a great life. I have a great family. I have a great job. I work with people who I love. I love Jerry. I love Mutt. I love Ken. Curtis works here. I love him too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.